Hi, this is Jack Vaughn for the Talking Data Podcast, joined today by Ed Burns. I'm with Search Data Management, and Ed is with Search Business Analytics, and have a chance to talk today with Ed about some of his travels, recently covering the Open Data Science Conference in Boston. Ed, you produced some stories, and one of them that really struck me, some of the people that spoke in the story and some of the things they said. And we're talking about deep learning models and how those work. Okay, one fellow that was Peter Maynard from the credit scoring company Equifax. He said, if you're Amazon, you don't care why your model works. They care that it works. But there's other elements when you get into food and drug and important compliance-oriented databases and applications where somebody does care how it works, and is that an issue for models, for the models of deep learning, which we hear so much about?
Yes, it absolutely is. I thought it was pretty interesting when I started hearing about this, because, you know, when we first started talking about deep learning a year or so ago, the kind of main red flag that people were throwing up was, well, what are we going to use these for? And I think that's rightly so. I mean, a lot of the use cases you hear about are, you know, image recognition and speech to text and things like that. And so for the typical enterprise, what are they going to do with that? So that's one question. But I think some enterprises are finding ways to incorporate it more and more. But so now the question is kind of more operational. And so you're right, when we quote Peter Maynard, he's from the credit scoring company Equifax, and so he was talking about, for regulatory reasons, they have to give a reason for why people receive the credit scores that they do. They can't just, have a black box model spit out a number and just leave it at that.
And black box model here means what?
Basically, you just give it some data, and the model interprets all of the relationships between all of the variables, and it doesn't really, you as the data scientist don't really tell it to look at anything in particular. It's doing all of the interpreting for itself, basically.
And you don't know how the black box came up with that decision?
Exactly. It basically just, you give it data, and it gives you an answer, and you don't really have much visibility into how it gave you that answer or for what reasons it gave you that answer. For a credit scoring company like Equifax, there are regulatory reasons why that doesn't fly. At the conference, we also quoted someone from Biogen, the pharmaceutical company. Same thing. For regulatory reasons, they have to be able to explain why they arrive at certain decisions. And so I think that this is kind of an interesting moment for deep learning now. You know, people are kind of moving past the question of use cases and how do we implement these things. And now they're getting more into the deeper issues of how can we actually incorporate these into our operations. And it's not always a clear answer.
And what your story goes on to discuss, there are a couple of people referred to in the story, interpretability.
That's right, yeah. The interpretability of deep learning models is apparently a pretty big thing. We heard from a software engineer at Google talking about how it's not just a nice-to-have thing, it's kind of necessary when you're talking about an actual person making a decision based on the output of a deep learning model. For that person to make the best decision, he or she needs to know why they are being given a certain answer by a model. It's not good enough to just say, well, we gave it some data and here's the answer. People want to know why. And, his point was that as long as these models aren't interpretable, then it's the decision maker comes down to a point where they have to ask, well, do I trust myself or do I trust the model? And that's not really productive. The decision maker should be able to see, well, I understand what the model did, and so it makes sense that it gave me this answer, and now I can take that answer and make a decision from there. And I think that that's a really interesting point when we start to think about all the different areas that deep learning models are now getting involved in. I mean, the most important and, you know, most glaring example, I think, is self-driving cars, where people are literally putting their lives into the hands of these deep learning models. And, you know, if this whole self-driving car thing is going to take off, I don't think it's really good enough to just say, well, I trust the model and my life is in the hands of this model. I think that people are going to really want to understand why it's making decisions and, you know, see something at a deeper level of what's going on inside that black box.
Well, I know in my house with Netflix, they may give a recommendation such as something about worldwide wrestling. I'll know that my son was using the machine while I was out, but still there's some stuff I don't know. It is a black box to me.
Right, exactly. And there's no accounting in a lot of ways for how Netflix gives you that answer. It just says, well, because you watched this. But what is the connection between those two things? It never really explains that. And I think a lot of people would probably like to understand that, because like you, I get some pretty strange recommendations sometimes that aren't exactly on point.
Well, I think it's something we'll be keeping an eye on. It's, you know, in a lot of technology, we say, well, we're told by the vendors or the promoters or the analyst or the fan people that something has a lot of merit, has some momentum, and then we ask, well, what could go wrong? And certainly in some important application types that we considered an enterprise computing, this black box will be an issue, and we'll be kind of looking to see how people come up with interpretability answers for that.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it's not just us reporters who are looking at this. When I spoke to Peter Maynard after his session, he told me that I forget exactly what, but like the fifth or sixth person since his presentation who asked him about this interpretability piece of his model, which was a lot, considering that his presentation had very little to do with interpretability. You know, he just kind of inserted it as a side note, saying, well, we did this modeling, and by the way, we made it interpretable. But that was the number one thing from his presentation that people were interested in. So yeah, I think that there definitely are a lot of people out there who are feeling this issue of the lack of interpretability in deep learning models and want to know how to make them more easily interpretable.
Well, and thanks, and it's nice to hear some news from the Open Data Science Conference in Boston. It is one of the more interesting events we get to go to from time to time. And thanking you, and also our people who've joined us on this Tech Target Talking Data podcast, and reminding folks that may chance upon this podcast that it's available. You can subscribe to it on iTunes. Again, that's a Tech Target Talking Data podcast. I'm Jack Vaughn, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again in the next episode.